I'm Michelle Polino.
And I'm Michael Tamaro. And this is...
Take Two.
Yes. I think this is a good song to open up with. But it probably doesn't do it justice.
Well,
the level of creepiness.
Yeah. The monsters that hide in the Hollywood Hills, that hide in Washington. Well, you know, Take Two is the podcast that takes on both Washington and Hollywood. And we kind of meet right in the middle.
We hope to, Michelle.
Yeah.
That's our goal.
To meet in the middle. Okay. Obviously, the Harvey Weinstein debacle is top of mind today, would you say?
It's a story that just keeps on. It has taken so many twists and turns. I would not have predicted it was going to go to this point when it first broke on Thursday or Friday of last week.
It broke on Thursday.
On Thursday of last week.
I said immediately this is going to be Bill Cosby.
My only thing, the only reason why I say I didn't think it would get to this point, and I think we're now, the dam has burst, and I think there's more to come, as I mentioned to your colleague Jessica the other day on her podcast. He admitted guilt last week. He admitted guilt. He was going into therapy, all that. But being Harvey Weinstein, he couldn't help from being an and he just he couldn't keep his mouth shut.
Right.
You know, it was first how it all broke was so crazy. First, his lawyer, Lisa Bloom, let's start with her. I tweeted out a quote that she said last Friday because it was so outrageous. Her statement.
Right.
This is Lisa Bloom, you recall, is a woman who took down Bill O'Reilly, a big feminist, which is great. And you thought she was for all the right things.
Right.
But she turns out just to be another bottom feeder in the world of law and an ambulance chaser. And she was defending Harvey, saying he's an old dinosaur learning new ways.
Incredible. It's a joke.
That was a joke.
And let me just add to that Bloom cut a deal with Harvey to make her book into a TV series. That's how this slime fest started.
And then Harvey went on to say, you know, he was a creature of the 60s and 70s, and this is the way it was, which I took as a subtle, hey, guys. All the rest of us out here, it's not just me. You know, let's circle the wagons. I'm not alone.
Right.
And then he kept going, because that's what Harvey Weinstein does. He's a bully. Said he would devote all his time and energies to fighting the NRA. And that was his way of rallying the troops.
It's a deflection tactic.
It's a deflection tactic. And it reminds me, you know, we've lived in this story here at Fox News. We've been sort of hit with a Category 4 hurricane of sexual harassment over the last 15 months with Roger Ailes. This is a Category 5 hurricane, or typhoon, I think is what you guys have on the Pacific coast.
Yeah.
That is hitting Hollywood. You know, Roger used to say in some of these meetings about a particular talent, and I didn't appreciate it until this moment. And I remember someone from programming would go on about this particular talent and some of the problems they were having, and he would always end what he had to say by saying, you know, he's just being the typical jackass. Okay. And Roger would respond, well, he's our jackass. And I think that's sort of where Harvey was going. Hey guys, you may not like what I'm doing, but I'm your pig. Yeah, I'm a pig, but I'm your pig.
So interesting.
Right?
So interesting.
And then the whole thing just blew up completely.
It did blow
up. It's nonstop now.
It will be nonstop. It will continue to be nonstop because this is the biggest story that this will take down every male figure in Hollywood that has been doing this. And this is something that... I spoke with a couple of people in Hollywood yesterday and the day before that about the conditions here. And it's been a very long time. And I knew about Weinstein. If I knew about Weinstein, I had heard the rumors.
You have.
I have. And actually, after what was released in the New Yorker was a
Ronan Farrow's article. Ronan Farrow's came out yesterday, article. And it was a bombshell.
Another bombshell was he went on MSNBC and said NBC failed because they did not take this story for fear of a lawsuit by Weinstein. And that's why it was printed. Because he was MSNBC. Right. Well, yeah, but Ronan brought it to NBC first. And he said on Rachel Maddow yesterday that, oh, no, there were no flaws in the story. It was ready to go. And NBC wouldn't go with it for fear, like you said, of a lawsuit by Weinstein. And so he went to The New Yorker. And The New Yorker was like, oh, yeah, we're going to print. Now, what then ensued was a fight, a race to the finish line between the New York Times and the New Yorker.
Yeah.
Okay. And the New York Times printed their story first. And what Harvey said when he was going to sue was that the Times did not give Weinstein ample time to get all his facts together to defend against the allegations before they went to print. That's the only viable lawsuit.
Correct.
So that was included in the apology, the lame apology that he sent out, which really wasn't an apology.
Because he wanted time to bully the people who were on the record. Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Lovely.
So, and then the New Yorker article came out. The New Yorker article has, I think it was 13, because now it's up to 22.
Mm.
So 13, Cara Levine just came out with a statement too, just as we're speaking during this podcast, saying he wanted her to kiss another woman. She's an openly bisexual woman in Hollywood. But he wanted her to kiss another woman in front of him because he knew this. getting back to the New Yorker piece, the New Yorker piece also had a piece of audio from a New York Police Department sting.
Oh, this is just so creepy.
Right.
And pathetic.
And it was this woman, this 22-year-old model, who went to the police after an incident with Weinstein. So they put a wire on her, and she went back to him. She went back to him with a wire. And this is part of the audio that they got. And again, this was in the New Yorker magazine.
If you embarrass me in this hotel,
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
Honey, don't have a fight with me in the hall.
Nice.
Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear, my children. Please come in. On everything, I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now.
Please come in now. And 1 minute. And if you want to leave, when the guy comes with my jacket,
you can. Yesterday, you touched my wrist.
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
But come on. Are you used to that?
Yes, come in.
I mean, there's something so pathetic about how that all of them. I mean, all the story, even with some stuff we read about Roger, now Harvey,
right.
And Bill Cosby. It's so pathetic.
Right.
I don't.
It's not pathetic because I don't know.
Is that the right word?
No. It's not pathetic. You see it as pathetic because you're a man. You're looking at it from that point of view. For me, I find it offensive.
Well, yes.
Vile. I've had it happen to me. Twice in my career. Once I was at Star 104.5 back in Philadelphia, and Cyndi Lauper's manager, he was also the manager of AC/DC, English guy, asked me to go for a ride in his Porsche. He was, you know, he was a big mogul then. You know what he did, right? He took me for a ride in his Porsche, and he thought I was going to have sex with him.
Oh, that's gross.
It is gross. It was horrible.
Well, you're right. The feeling
that you get as a woman is so helpless.
You're right.
You're so shocked.
Because I am looking at it from a point of view of a man, and that because all the I hear it, I'm like, wow, all this just for what? You know, it's like
right.
And it's I see it as pathetic because it's just so lame. It's like, what is your problem? But yeah, you're right. That's the only way I sort of see it now. But as a woman, it has to be. It's completely degrading and humiliating, and there's a great piece called The Human Stain, Why Harvey Fierstein's Story is Worse Than You Think, and I really recommend it. I tweeted it out yesterday. It's in the Weekly Standard.
Okay.
You can find it at Foxlight Michael. And what I realized, and I sort of always knew this, but this story sort of confirmed to me, none of this is about sex
It's about power.
Or getting off.
No, it's about power.
Well,
that power point, let me just say this.
Yes.
Let me add this.
Yes.
It is about sex because their sexuality is attached to their power. That is their source.
Yeah. It'd be good to get a psychologist.
Oh, yeah.
To talk about this. We should do that. Because I'm sure this story is going to go on for another couple of weeks. But he controlled, and it's in the story, you know, through humiliation and degradation, he controlled these women. Because what person, what actress wants to come out at the height of his power and admit to what they had to endure? It's humiliating.
Right.
And that's sort of how he sort of controlled, you know, his victims. And it's really incredible. And then it was such an open secret, as you said. And this article sort of touches on how he was able to control not only the victims, but the media and all this from getting out.
There's an article in Gawker I'm looking at right now. Thank you, Rick. I mean, that talks about the NYPD sting, that talks about the model, that talks about New York Magazine writer Jennifer Senior and conservative commentator John Podoritz, who took to Twitter to discuss the despicable open secret of Weinstein's behavior with women in Hollywood. Mm. This has been an ongoing industry standard, and it's got to stop. And I want to add this because I want to give a shout out to Rose McGowan. Power to the women, power to the people.
Absolutely. And big names.
And she, along with Ashley Judd, along with Gwyneth Paltrow, along with Angelina Jolie, along with Mira Sorvino, along with Rosanna Arquette, all came forward with stories about Weinstein. I would just want to add with Rose McGowan, she also tweeted out that Ben Affleck, who put out a statement yesterday.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Ben Affleck.
Under pressure, I'm sure.
Under pressure to put out a statement. Well, he did something, and Rose McGowan kept calling him out, calling him out, calling him out. Finally, today, after somebody posted this.
You're always like, I'm just free-spirited. Oh. It's so nice to see you.
And he wraps his arm around me and comes over and tweaks my left boob.
Nice to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Video lives forever.
Video lives forever.
Thank
Ben
God.
Affleck. Ben Affleck. He then tweets out, I acted inappropriately towards Miss Burton. Hillary Burton was on MTV's show TRL. She was doing an interview with him. And that's when it happened. And he says, I sincerely apologize.
This article I mentioned earlier, it sort of gets to how he sort of was able to control all of this behavior. The reporter, Lee Smith, writes, a friend reminds me that there was a period when Miramax bought the rights to every big story published in magazines throughout the city. Why mess with Weinstein when that big new female star you're trying to wrangle for the June cover is headlining a Miramax release? Do you think that glossy magazine editor who threw the swankiest Oscar party in Hollywood was trying to nail down the Weinstein story? Right. Just like the hundreds of journalists who were ferried across the river for the big party at the Statue of Liberty to celebrate the premiere of Talk, which was a magazine he founded with Tina Brown. Back in the 90s. They were all sipping champagne and sniffing Coke with models in order to nail down the story about how their host was a rapist. This guy really gets to it.
Right. I would also recommend why Ronan Farrow's Harvey Weinstein bombshell did not run on NBC. The article's on The Hollywood Reporter. Boy, we're just calling him out today. I reposted it on my Twitter at Michelle Polino. That really kind of gives you an idea of why people aren't doing this. Why people didn't come forward, because he kept threatening everybody with lawsuits, everybody in every station. And I believe that is why Saturday Night Live did not touch this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But it did come out. It did come out now, and there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. And again, this article sort of gets to the heart of why it's happening now. He writes, it's because the media industry that once protected him has collapsed. The magazines that used to publish the stories Miramax optioned can't afford to pay for the kind of reporting and storytelling that translates into screenplays. They broke because Facebook and Google have swallowed all the digital advertising money that was supposed to save the press as print advertising continued to tank. And the other point he makes, which I find incredibly interesting and ties it back to the world of politics, the Clinton court is completely destroyed. Because the court over which Bill Clinton once presided, a court in which Weinstein was one part jester, one part exchequer, and one part executioner, no longer exists. And he goes on to say, if Hillary Clinton had been elected president, this story probably would still be an open secret in Hollywood.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I highly recommend it, that piece. Find it on my Twitter, FoxNetMichael.
That is an amazing piece. Now, I'm really interested also in your thoughts on Lindsay Lohan. Did you see what she posted?
What did she write? I saw it, and I did not get a chance to go back to it. I saw the headline.
All right, take a listen.
Okay.
Hi, this is Lindsay Lohan. I'm in Dubai. I'm home. And I feel very bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on.
What's she talking about?
I think Georgina needs to take a stand and be there for her husband. And he's never harmed me or done anything wrong to me. And we've done several movies together. And so I think everyone needs to stop. I think it's wrong.
Stop. First of all, when did she become English? I think that's what needs to stop, Lindsay.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know.
Clearly doesn't sound like she's in her right mind.
Oh boy.
Georgina is doing what is in the
best interest of Georgina. Exactly what Georgina needs to do.
I mean,
Lindsay,
she had a great business model going on there for a while. She, of course, is the creative person behind Marquesa Fashions, and every star, female actress in a Miramax or Weinstein Company movie was forced to wear Marquesa on the red carpet.
Prediction,
Michelle, you will not see Marquesa on the red carpet this award season.
I think you're right. I think you're more than right
on this one. I'm going
out on
a limb on that one.
I think you're more than right on this one. I just can't believe that she tweeted that because I think what's happening right now is that there are some people that he did not go near, and there are others, many others, that didn't. But to say that, to not do a mea culpa to the rumors, I mean, all right, I'm just going to name a few. Glenn Close, Kate Winslet, George Clooney, Lena Dunham, they all came out and admitted that they had heard the rumors. They had heard them. And I think I really love what Glenn Close said, because I think it was probably one of the most honest statements that I had heard. And I'm trying to find it, as you can hear. I'm trying to blah, 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 blah myself. Here it is. Glenn Close wrote, "I'm sitting here deeply upset, acknowledging to myself that yes, for many years, I have been aware of the vague rumors that Harvey Weinstein had a pattern of behaving inappropriately around women, and I feel angry and darkly sad."
So, what did Clooney say? Do you have that, Michelle?
Okay, here's Clooney's statement. Okay, he said, "It's indefensible. That's the only word you can start with." This is what he told the Daily Beast. "Harvey's admitted to it, and it's indefensible. Defensible. I've known Harvey for 20 years. We've had dinners. We've been on locations together. We've had arguments. But I've never seen any of this behavior ever. To me, as a woman, I'm like, of course you haven't. He's not going to do it in front of you. He's not an idiot." The actor then added, "I've heard rumors, and the rumors in general started back in the 90s. And they were that certain actresses had slept with Harvey to get a role. It seemed like a way to smear the actresses and demean them by saying that they didn't get the jobs based on their talent. So I took those rumors with a grain of salt."
Wow. But on the other hand, what do we expect George to have done? Confront Harvey on it?
But let's just stay in this moment for one second and realize that the way men talk about women are different. He was hearing from other men that women were using Harvey for sex, when indeed it was the opposite. Do you understand now?
Say that again. Okay. He believed
He believed that men were telling him,
yes,
that women were sleeping to get ahead, sleeping with him to get ahead.
Got it.
Okay? That women were the ones who were
right. Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, when you read of the approaches or the incidents and how he would go about trying to humiliate women, same mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. all of these guys who have been doing it. Bill Clinton, we forgot to bring up his name. I mean,
oh, yeah. No, everybody's cigars went where
cigars
up.
Never belonged to go, or were yeah. never meant to be. It is no one, no woman. I mean, this is guy. Like, no woman would ever find any of this to be a turn on.
No.
It's
no. No.
It's.
No.
It's just, you know.
How many times do I need to say
it? And it just goes to show, like, guys and women, and how they talk among.
Yeah.
It's just. Yeah.
It's a different beast. And you know, if there's any good that comes out of any of this, it's perhaps our conversations that we're having now. And, you know.
And let's be fair to both sides. This is not just straight men and straight women in Hollywood and business. This is across the board.
It's across the board.
I was at a Labor Day barbecue back in 2012, whenever the Syria red line controversy was going on.
Uh-huh.
It was 12 or 13, probably 13. Uh-huh. And I witnessed a young actor with his team huddling with a billionaire in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like his, you know, management was dangling this kid in front of the billionaire as bait.
Yeah.
And I was just like, they're certainly not talking about Syria in the red line. I'm just saying. And this young guy is a fine young actor and has since gone on to have, you know, issues with anxiety and all that. And he's in a leading show right now and doing very well for himself. But he had to change teams and all management teams and all that. But it's out there. It's on all sides.
Oh, yeah. I see that a lot in Hollywood, especially in the gay community. You see that a lot.
Yeah.
There's still a fear.
And it's fear that's embarrassing. Especially
it's embarrassing. I've been grabbed.
Yeah.
I've been grabbed.
And guys, I would imagine. Well, no, I'm not going to say guys have a harder time saying something about it. It's humiliation is humiliation no matter the gender.
Yeah,
it's a tough thing to talk about, isn't it, Michelle? This is not an easy topic to talk about.
No,
let's just say
it. I mean, it's not. But I think it's high time that we are talking about it. I'm so glad, and again, give props to Rose McGowan and Ashley Judd
for going on the record.
For going on the record first.
Absolutely.
Because you know what? You know what I saw on Facebook, guys. You know, just talking about Ashley Judd at the Women's March, because you can easily smear these women,
mm-hmm.
and they take the smears. They sit there and they take it. You know, everybody's behavior is not great all the time. And we're each other holding each other in such severe judgment at every moment. It's just.
And I'm absolutely. And I will give props to Meryl Streep as well. I know a lot of people on the right are criticizing her and saying, you know, finally a performance that's not believable for Meryl Streep. It was an open secret in Hollywood that everyone had to know. No, not necessarily true.
Right. And Lindsay Lohan, she did.
And I could say that as someone who had worked with Roger Ailes for close to 25 years. And I've been on the receiving end of how could you not have known?
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah.
A lot of people did not know.
It's
easy. These guys are very good at covering up their tracks.
Right. So it's the kind of thing where the left can't sit there and slam anybody. I've been slammed. They're like, oh, you work at Fox. How can you say this? And I'm like, I work on the West Coast. Number one.
yeah.
Number two, I've never had anything. That's like when you yell about the right slamming Meryl or anybody that worked for Weinstein, anybody, any actress, Meryl Streep, Julianne Moore, Jennifer Lawrence. That means they're all culpable in this mess. That means anybody that worked for the Weinstein Company, any woman So let's just get this straight. Let's relax a little bit and say, here's the problem. It's now been opened up like a rose in full bloom. Let's pick it and pick it apart.
I do find it very interesting that a lot of friends, family, and colleagues who have treated me like a pariah since all of the Roger Ailes stuff broke 15 months ago, who were very self-righteous at the time, are now very quiet, who work in the industry. So we will say, and just for the record, Michelle.
Yes.
I did say, instead of Harvey Weinstein, I said Harvey Firestein earlier in this podcast.
You did?
I did. And apparently.
Harvey Firestein.
Our poor little
totally
Harvey.
He's a totally different guy.
Apparently, I love Harvey Firestein, and he's been getting a lot of that throughout this, and has tweeted out recently, that's right, be mad at Harvey, not Harvey, guys. We're mad at Harvey Weinstein, not Harvey Firestein. And then he also went on to say in another tweet, I'm a good gay. I mean, a good guy. Guys, we're mad at Harvey Weinstein, not Harvey Firestein. So Harvey Firestein, my apologies. My apologies, and I hear you're coming back to Broadway soon, and I cannot wait.
I love him, too. And what was that, Tour Song Trilogy? Was that
Tour Song
did?
Trilogy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That and, was
and
a beautiful, beautiful movie. And Matthew Broderick was the first time I really saw, like, sweet, nurturing, just a movie with two men, just in I thought it was really beautifully done.
Incredible, yeah. And he was great in Hairspray, too. Let's not forget Hairspray.
Hairspray.
Edna.
Yes.
Edna.
That was really good, too.
That is a really scary Harvey Firestein.
Sorry. I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Getting ready for Halloween.
I am. Anyway.
Well.
Yeah, I think our podcast is.
I think we pretty much covered it.
We did. Okay. This weekend, I'm still watching the Vietnam series on PBS. It's like the longest. I can't even. I'm getting tired of it. So,
when will this war ever end?
I'm just like, when will this war ever end?
And it's not the longest war in American history either.
Right.
That's Afghanistan. Yeah. So wait till that series comes out.
I can't. I won't. Ken Burns better not touch it. That's all I'm saying. What about you?
I am not watching a thing. It's so sad. I am. We last night we celebrated the 10th anniversary of the Fox Business Network over at Chelsea Pier 61. It was a beautiful evening. Brian Jones, president of FBN, spoke. Mr. Murdoch spoke, and it was just a great night for everyone to sort of come out and mark the occasion and take a break from everything that's going on. It's a beautiful location that overlooks the Hudson River, and I can't believe it's 10 years because 10 years ago. We launched FBN, and I orchestrated the party at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in the Egyptian room, which I can't think of the name of it now. We had the Counting Crows play, and it was just an incredible evening, and it's hard to believe 10 years. So that was the first of many events we have going on here in the month of October for Fox News and Fox Business. So I have been swamped. It's been very long days. I've been getting home 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and it's nonstop with these things. And then we're launching a new primetime coming up on October 30th with the Ingram Angle and Shannon Bream at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. your time, Michelle.
Yeah.
So I haven't had time to sort of settle into a show yet. I need a show, but it's not going to be your Ken Burns series.
We'll have to find something for you.
Find something for me.
I do need to skedaddle.
Skedaddle.
So, at Foxlight, Michael, you can follow Michael at. And
at Michelle Polino at?
At Michelle Polino on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So have a great weekend. Thank you for listening to Take Two.
See you next time.